So I'm going to talk about China's water issues. So China's water problem have raised lots of concerns inside China and also internationally. The extent of the water problem will have strong implications for China's future agricultural production and also China's trade position in key crops. So in my talk today, I'll first focus on understanding whether there is water crisis in China. I'll then talk about what the farmers and the government are doing when faced with water crisis and whether past water policies have been successful in resolving the water problems. I'll also discuss some potential solutions that our research has pointed out, answering the question that who can build a bridge over China's troubled waters. Most of the work I presented here today is done by myself and jointly with my co-authors, Professor Scott Rosell from Stanford University, and Jinxia Wang and Ji Kun Huang from Center for Chinese Agriculture Policy. So over the past several decades, China's grain production has been increasing continuously at a fast rate. Irrigation is among the most important factors that push this growth. However, with the growth of China's economy, the availability of water for agriculture is declining. On the demand side, agriculture is losing water to rising demand in other sectors such as industry and residential sector. We can see that the share of water used in agriculture dropped from 85% in 1978 to 62% in 2007. Agriculture also has a lower priority relative to other sectors in terms of water use. On the supply side, past water projects has tapped out almost all of the surface water in North China. We can see that in High River Basin, which is one of the major river basins in North China, the surface water flows have reduced to almost zero in recent years. With a decline in surface water supply, farmers have started to rely more and more heavily on groundwater for irrigation. The number of tube wells increased continuously and at a fast rate since 1950s. Yet there was almost no wells in 1950s, but by 2004, it was estimated that there was more than 7.6 million wells in China. We can see that except for rice, for most crops in North China, groundwater is a major source of irrigation water. But as a result of this fast development of groundwater irrigation, water levels start to decline in many places in North China. Given this decline in water supply and rising water demand, more and more people are asking the question, is China facing a water crisis? Lots of people say yes. They believe that the water crisis is affecting China's grain production. It could even push China to starve the world because China would have to rely on food produced outside of China, and the massive volumes of imports by China would raise food prices internationally. There's also a group of people believe that a good policy can solve the problems, that is, sound policy bridges can be built over even the most troubled water. So who is right? Whom should we blame for the water crisis? And what can be done to resolve the problem? Unfortunately, despite the importance of this issue, most studies and discussions on this issue are only based on case studies or anecdotes. But without empirical evidence that comes from national representative data, it's not possible for us to even know whether there really is a nationwide crisis in China. So the first objective of our research is to get the facts right. To do so, in 2005, North China Water Resource Survey. In the survey, we used a stratified random sampling strategy and generated a sample of villages that are representative of North China. So in total, we collected data in 400 villages in the six provinces. Using our survey data, we then plot the distribution of depth to water in our sample areas. We can see that the average depth to water was 26 meters in our sample villages, but it varied. Depth to water varied across our sample villages. You can see that for most of the villages, the depth to water is between 0 and 50%, so 50 meters. So you can see the distribution, most of the distribution for, concentrated in this region. But we can also, there are also some villages that are pumping from more than 100 meters. We also can see that distribution of 2004, which is the red line here, shifted a little bit to the right of the distribution of 1995, indicating that water are getting deeper over years. But when we examine the changed water level in more details, we found what may be, to some observers, a fairly surprising result. Most importantly, our data reveal that not all regions in North China are experiencing decline in water levels. In 26% of the villages, water level did not change between 1995 and 2004. In another 9% of villages, the water level actually increased, probably due to recharge from rainfall. If we also include those villages whose level fell less than 1/4 of a meter per year, which is 18% of villages, we can say that up to half of our sample villages, groundwater have shown little or no decline over the past decade. At the same time, we also see that there are a large number of villages that have water levels that are falling over years. In 38% of the villages, the water level fell between 1/4 meter and 1/2 meter per year. In 11% of the villages, water level fell more than 1.5 meter per year. So waters in those villages are definitely troubled. So to answer the question, is China facing a water crisis? According to our study, the most accurate answer is probably both yes and no. On the one hand, we see that the water level is only falling rapidly in a fraction of the villages. So it certainly cannot be called a full-blown crisis. On the other hand, we also see that those villages that are in crisis represent a large number, almost half our villages. So it is a serious problem. So where there's a problem is a response by the government. In the past, the government has designed a lot of water laws and launched a number of policy measures in attempt to deal with the problems. But in terms of the actual implementation, we find that there's almost zero effort. In our sample villages, less than 10% of the well owners actually obtained permits before drilling the wells. Less than 5% of villages have any requirement on well spacing. In none of the villages that is the water extraction fee imposed. There's no restrictions on how much water farmers can pump. So in short, there's almost zero implementation of those policy measures. We're not saying that the government is lazy. The reality is that it is extremely difficult, if not impossible, to control over some million wells. So is the government building the bridges? Obviously not. Are policymakers a part of troubling the waters? We say yes, through their non-action. What about farmers? Is there a response by farmers? The most obvious response of farmers is to sink tube wells. We see a clear, strong trend of increasing privatization of wells. So you can see that in Hebei and Henan province, the share of wells that are owned by individual farmers instead of the village collective increased from 7% in 1983 to 81% in 2004. Our sixth province survey also indicated that by 2004, 69% of wells are private wells. So with the shift of this well ownership, the management of groundwater resource also shifted into the hands of individual farmers. Although our research showed that privatization of wells does increase technical efficiency in agricultural production, mostly through more timely delivery of water, the privatization of wells does not reduce water use. In surface water using area, we also observe a clear trend of reform. In 1995, in 90% of villages, the village council was managing the canals, and this share dropped to 72% in 2004. In more and more villages, either water user associations are managing the canals, or the village council contracted canals out to water managers. So our research also showed that WA or contracting can save water if water managers can earn money from saving water. But only a small proportion of WA or contracting are provided with such incentive to save water. So are farmers building a bridge? Probably not. Are farmers a part of troubling the water? Since they are the water users, so almost by definition, yes. But is it their fault? Could it be that they're just doing what we should expect them to do, given the policy environment? And could it be that they would just as easily be part of the solution, given the right incentives? In fact, our research has shown us the basis of some bridges, that is water pricing policy, followed with the adoption of water saving technology. Our research showed that farmers would respond to higher prices by reducing water use. So because in North China, the cost of groundwater is mostly just the energy cost, electricity, diesel fuel to pump water out. So there's almost, you can see there almost a linear relationship between depths and water and the cost of water. We can also see that as water gets deeper, farmers are using less water. So in the first row, the bottom 20 percentiles, so the average depth is about 4 meters. Farmers are using on average 500 cubic meters per mu. Mu is the unit of land in China. So farmers are using 500 cubic meter per mu to irrigate wheat. While on the top 25 percentiles, where farmers are paying much more for water, the water use reduced dramatically to 150 meters per mu. Farmers also respond to higher water prices by changing crop mix. We can see that the share of land allocated to high-value crop, cash crop, fruits and vegetables, increases as water gets deeper. For farmers that are in top 20 percentile of the distribution, where the water is the most deep, the shares as high as 40%. This is what we observed in our field visits. For example, in one of the counties we visited in Hebei province, which is the bottom picture, Cang County, where the water level have dropped pretty fast, farmers are started to grow more and more fruit trees. But while in another county, this is in the same province, where water is relatively abundant, not many changes have been observed. So if China do increase price price of water by taxing electricity or diesel fuel, we would expect to see a sharp decline in water demand. We actually have a set of simulation analysis that's showing this. This will lead to lots of water savings, probably increasing adoption of water saving technology. So in our survey, we also collected data on water saving technology. We divide them into three different categories depending on their characteristics. We can see that for all three categories, the adoption rate is actually pretty low. For example, for the community-based technology, such as lined canals, sprinklers, the adoption rate was only 7% of the zone area in 2004. So those numbers don't look good. But if we look at them in optimistic way, we see lots of rooms for policy that target at increasing adoption rate. And the one such policy is water pricing policy. In fact, the low water prices is the reason we observe those low adoption rates, because if water is cheap, farmers would not have any incentive to save water. Of course, if we increase the price of water, farmers would suffer income losses from high irrigation costs. So we would also need a set of complementary policies that would offset those negative income effects. So in conclusion, China, there is a regional water crisis in China. Past water policies have not been effective in resolving the problems. So as the water prices increase, either from water pricing policy or from falling water levels, we're probably going to see the production of water-using crops to reduce. We're going to see much less winter wheat, which requires lots of irrigation. Or we're probably going to observe a shift from wheat maize rotation to single season maize. We're probably even going to see a shift from rice to maize. So is this going to be a problem? We think not. The reason is because the domestic demand for food grains such as wheat and rice is declining in China. There's also a rising demand for meat in China, and which means that derived demand for maize is also increasing. In addition, most researchers believe that supply response in international markets would also dampen the impact of China's rising imports on international prices. We already see that higher water prices will direct farmers to more high-value crops. There's also rising demand for fruits and vegetables in domestic and export markets. So although fruits and vegetables are water-intensive, they're also high-value. So we expect to see rising investment into greenhouses and water-saving technologies such as lined canals, sprinklers, or maybe drip irrigation, things like this. So finally, the water problem is going to cause some tension and stress in China. There's going to be costs associated with shifting crops and those new investments. But China, like many other developing countries, are ready to build a bridge over troubled waters. Who is the director of Agriculture Division, Development and Reform Commission, said in 2004 that if I knew a water policy worked and if I knew where an investment would have the most effect, I would allocate up to a quarter of my budget to this one activity. And with that, I'll end my talk today. Thank you.